Praise the Lord. This morning I want to continue a message that I spoke in part last week, but a different aspect of it today, and that is arrows of the youth. I want to speak concerning our children, the raising of godly children in the house of the Lord, and to look to the Word of God for understanding concerning that. Last week I spoke on the subject, a target too strong for our weak hands. And we took as a scripture Genesis 49, 22 to 24. I'd like us to look at that once again and refer in general to our life and our calling in God. The target that God gives us is too strong for our weak hands. And we see in the life of Joseph how that the hands of the Lord came upon him to help him. When God gives us a vision, when God gives us a call, when God gives us a Christian life to live, it is too strong for our weak hands. We are not able to live this miracle life on our own power, by our own rationale, by our own means. We need the power of God, and so we ask for the power of the Lord to come upon our lives. The Lord gives a vision to a church like this church. We have a vision that is far too strong for our weak hands, and we need the power of God to come on the church, on our lives as we labor together in the work of the gospel. Genesis 49 and verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Where Joseph was destined to fly, and the target he was called to hit in the will of God was far too strong for his weak hands. But as he yielded himself to the Spirit of God and worked through the difficulty and trial in a godly manner, submitted himself to the Lord no matter the circumstance, we know the wondrous result that his life hit the target. He hit his mark in God. And the Lord wants us to be able to yield our lives under his mighty hands, that you feel the hands of the Lord come upon the arrows and the bow of your life, and you are able to shoot out in the direction and to the target that the Lord desires. Now today I want to speak about another area where the target is too strong for our weak hands. And that is in the raising of godly children. We are not able to raise up our children in the manner and spirit that they need of a godly sort in our own strength, our own means, our own power, our own personality, our own education. We need the hands of the Lord upon the children. We need the hands of the Lord so they can be released to this target. There's not a person, not a parent who doesn't feel this burden. And it's a deep concern in the life of every parent that has a heart after God. Will my children serve the Lord? Will my children serve the Lord? I remember how this weighed on Deborah and myself in our childbearing years. Will our children serve the Lord? My Lord, anything you need from us, anything you need to do, please do it. But God forbid that our children would not serve the Lord. And that cry is in the heart of a parent that seeks after God. And I know this morning that as parents in this house of God, this burden rests on us. We need the hands of the Lord. We are not able to hit this target by our own means and power. We need the hands of the Lord upon the arrows and upon the bow. What shall it profit a child? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a loss. A life lived in the earth, but all is lost and they perish in a Christ, without Christ in eternity. What a terrible loss. Everything is gone. But not everyone even gains the whole world. Some people do gain the whole world. Their name is renowned across the earth. They have more finances and money and popularity than they could ever spend up. But most don't gain the whole world. They might gain a good job, a good life, a good marriage partner, a good standard of living. But even if you gain that and lose your soul, what does it profit? There are no words to describe the loss that accompanies a person that dies without Jesus Christ, a son or daughter that dies without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, a pastor's wife, I've never forgotten the word, she said to her teenage daughter, "If I preach the gospel and the whole world comes to Jesus Christ, but I lose you, it will break my heart. If I preach the gospel and the whole world comes to Jesus, but I lose you, it will break my heart." Psalm 127. Such serious matters before us this morning. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. As arrows in the hand of warriors." Parents are warriors. Every parent needs to be a warrior, a worship warrior, a prayer warrior, a word warrior. "As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, a warrior, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed." Those children will not be ashamed, "for they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." It's speaking of victory to these children because the battles are fought in the gates. "The gates of hell shall not prevail." These are children that are raised up to be warriors, and the powers of darkness fall before them. They are not overcome by evil, but they overcome by the power of God and live holy and godly lives. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Those arrows are children that are to be shot out to the target of the Lord. Every child needs a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short, fallen short of the glory of God." We know that that is the archer's imagery, that an arrow is shot, but it can't hit the glory of God. And our children need to understand how desperately they need a Savior, how desperately they need Jesus Christ and the blood of the cross upon their lives. For without him, they will simply shoot out, but they will fall short of the target. They will fall short of heaven. They will fall short of the glory of God. Those arrows will fall into the field of this world, and they will perish in the field of this world. Every child needs a Savior. Only in Jesus Christ can the arrows hit the mark, the glory of God. We need Jesus. And so how we implore them, how we teach our children the need of Jesus Christ in their life, the need of the saving grace of God. And then there's a second target that we must hit, and that is our calling and purpose in Christ. Because the Lord has saved us, but he's also called us to a purpose. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." The target is salvation, the glory of God, and the target is service for the Lord, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, according to his own purpose and grace. And so there is a second target on a child, on our lives, and that is that we become useful for the Lord, that we find a place of service with God. For we have a purpose. Every child has a purpose. Every person has a godly purpose on their life, not only to be saved, but also to serve the Lord with all their heart, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. As arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are children of the youth. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. The account of Hagar. Verses 14 to 20. Hagar, a mother who needed the hand of the Lord upon her situation. In verse 14. Genesis 21. "And Abram rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. As it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Now her child Ishmael was probably 15, 16, 17 years of age. And because of stress in the home and some difficulty with Ishmael, his spirit against Isaac, the Lord said, I want you to send Hagar and Ishmael away. And so Hagar, he took her as wife. And now she was sent away, a single mother, sent out into the unknown, not knowing her future. Verse 17 says, and God heard the voice of the lad. In verse 16, it was Hagar lifting her voice and weeping. But verse 17 says, God heard the voice of the lad. The young man was crying out too. He'd only known his father Abraham. He'd known the security of a former day. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not. Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Difficult circumstances upon Hagar's life. A single mother with a teenage child. And the Bible says the water in the skin, the water in the bottle was spent. And the bread, the provision was running out. And she did not have answers. Exhausted, feeling all alone. She put the child over a distance, a good bow shot. Because she said, I don't want to see the death of the child. And she cried out and she wept before God. There are times in life as parents where you feel exhausted, that you don't have enough. You don't have enough bread. You don't have enough water. You don't have enough finances. You don't have enough strength to walk into the future and fulfill a will in God. But the Lord says, if we will lift up our voice to Him, that we will see a well dug by God Himself. What a holy promise. What a holy promise. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. If we will lift up our voice to God, regardless of our situation, God will open our eyes and we will see a well of water dug by God Himself for our situation. And the Lord always says, fear not. No matter where we are, He says, fear not. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you. I have heard your cry. And when God speaks to us, we have to stop our weeping. There are times we weep. There are times we're in circumstances that are difficult, but we cry out to the Lord. And when He speaks, we have to put away our weeping and thank God for His provision and come against fears and anxieties. And we have to drink the waters of God and know that there is a promise of God on our life and there is a promise of God on our children. God says, I will make of him a great nation. What a beautiful promise of the Lord. And the Lord said these words to Hagar. He said, arise. Arise. Lift up the lad and hold him in your arms. Arise. Lift up the child. Hold him in your arms. First thing parents must do, we must arise. Sometimes we're exhausted. Sometimes parents are tired. They want to sleep. They want to rest. They want to take a break. But the Lord says, arise. And we must arise and not let emotions run our life. not let circumstances run our life. We must arise in the Spirit of God and come against natural tendencies and come against tiredness and come against weakness and say, I will believe God. He said, arise. And he told her to lift up the lad. Lift up the lad. Lift up his countenance. Lift up his joy. Lift up his vision. Talk about the goodness of the Lord. Talk about the voice of the Lord that came to you and what the promise of God is upon this family, though it's broken. What God's going to do. What God's going to minister in this family. God's going to make us fruitful. We're going to have a great nation, and God has opened up a well for us. We will drink of the supply of the Lord. We will not lack because the Lord will make a way for us. Even when it seems there is no way, the Lord will make a way for us because we belong to the Lord. Lift up the lad. There's enough downer stuff in this world. The world is always putting us down. The enemy is berating us. The enemy is badgering us. The enemy is accusing us. He's accusing our children. We must lift them up. Lift up the lad. Lift up his countenance. Lift up his brightness. Lift up his spirit. And then the Lord said, hold him in your hand. Go over there to that teenage Ishmael, and hold him in your hand. Get your hands on him to prepare him, to form him, to fashion him. Take him like the arrow of a bow and begin to work on his life because there is a call of God and a relationship with God for him. There are three parts to an arrow. As arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are children of the youth. There are three parts to an arrow: the arrowhead, the shaft, and the feathers or the fletchings. The arrow is usually made of wood, the shaft usually made of wood, and tipped with a metal head, and then the fins are added to give stability to the arrow, to give it wings, to cause it to fly. An arrowhead, a shaft, and feathers, the three parts of an arrow. And I relate these to calling, character, and curriculum. The arrowhead is the calling that's upon a child. The shaft that causes it to fly straight is character. And the fins or the feathers are curriculum. Those are the teachings of the Lord that gives stability and cause an arrow to fly toward its mark. The first thing is the arrowhead, the calling of a child, and how it must be sharpened in God. Sharpened, prepared, that the child is called of God. The child is called to be a Christian child in the world. That no matter what vocation or occupation or place of life that child will find themselves in, they must be about their father's business. That's the spirit of the arrowhead. Regardless of my calling, regardless of my occupation, where God puts me, I am going to hit the mark for God. I'm going to live for God in this situation, and I want to be prepared properly. And so we sharpen that arrow for service. We sharpen that arrowhead. We sharpen that calling. We sharpen that spiritual sensitivity in the child. We're made for God. We're made for His house. We're made for His kingdom. Apart from all other things of life, we are made for the service of the Lord. Like little Samuels growing up in the house of the Lord, busying themselves with smaller duties around the house, and they see mom and dad working around the house of God, in the prayer rooms, busy with practical areas, moving chairs at times, cleaning up as need be. There's a preparation and a sharpening. And as parents, we are called to speak of the glory of God's house. Let there never be heard a murmuring or discouraging word in us. The house of God is great. Child, there is nothing greater. Children, there is nothing greater than the house of God in the earth. It's the mountain established beyond all other mountains. We rejoice in the house of God. We rejoice to go to the house of the Lord. We speak of the glory of the church and of the family of God that gathers week by week. That's the arrowhead, making sure we sharpen spiritual calling, that they not only serve in life, in occupations of many sorts, but that their life is a target of spiritual strength for the Lord, and that they serve the house of God with all their heart. Then we have the shaft of the arrow, the character. Isaiah 49, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 49, verses 1 and 2. Listen, O isles. O listen, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels, from the womb of my mother, has he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hid me. The Lord has made mention of me from my mother's womb. He has made mention of my name. Every person, the Lord knows your name. The Lord has made mention of your name. There is a holy and godly destiny on your life to be used of the Lord. And our children, it says, in the shadow of his hand as he hid me and made me a polished shaft. That polished shaft is the character of a child and how it must be polished and refined. Holiness and sanctification, integrity and righteousness, so that arrow will fly straight for the target and not veer off into immoral ways of life and worldliness. That arrow must be sharpened, that character must be sanded, so that child will fly straight to the target of God. The way they prepared arrows was they had a stone with a semicircular hollow in it or groove. And they would take the wooden shaft and they would rotate it in that groove and sand and refine it until it would be perfectly smooth so that it would not be erratic in flight. And it shows us how carefully we must work with our children, rotating them at all times, working. If there's a rough spot, if we see a little knot on the side, we're going to go against that. We have to sand and hone and bring a child in properly. We must place them in the groove of the house of the Lord and have them rotated at all times. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. The word literally means to make narrow. To make narrow, to hem in, to confine. Confine a child, hem in a child, peg in a child in the way they should go. Make them narrow. Make them narrow. For narrow is the gate that leads unto Zoe, spiritual life. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads unto life, Jesus said. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. We have to hem them in. We narrow them in. We peg them in. We bring them to the house of God. We hold them in the house of God. I am so thankful for the house of God. My parents took me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Tuesday night we took music lessons. Friday night was youth. We were involved in the house of God. It was our social life. I thank the Lord for that groove of the house of the Lord in my life. Because sometimes in teenage years, there are a lot of pulls. And we must make sure the children stay in the groove. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I personally would not want to raise my children in a church that did not have Sunday morning and Sunday night services. And weekly services. We have to hem them in. We have to hem them in, bind them in to the groove of the Lord, into the house of God. Train up a child in the way he is to go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I think I'm going to say something this morning as the Spirit gives me liberty. When we raised our children, and again, you may say this is subjective, and that's you, Pastor Ron and Deborah, but maybe you would consider in your own heart, I felt the Lord tell us a few things. And he said, number one, Your children are growing up. Your sons are growing up. You tell them their friends are going to be Christian friends. They will not have non-Christian friends. They can have some non-Christian friends at school, but no, you won't be going overnight and staying at those friends' houses, and those friends won't be coming to our house and staying over at our houses. We're going to keep this that clean in our lives. Your friends are going to be Christian friends. Your friends are going to be children from the house of God, from families that love the Lord. And we were able to hold that, hem that in, and keep it that way. Because that's where a lot of worldliness can come in the early teenage years. Because all of a sudden the flesh life opens up in its power in the lives of young men and women. We have to hem them in. We have to hem them in. The other thing we told them was no activity, no hobby, no interest of yours will ever supersede or override the house of God. If you're in sports and sports falls on a Sunday or a Tuesday night, you will not be in sports on those days. Now, we didn't do it in a harsh manner. Just say, we honor the Lord. We love the Lord more than sports. We love the Lord more than other activities. When those activities fall outside of the house of God hours, you'll be involved, but not when they conflict with the house of God. Now, that's what the Lord told us to do, and we abode by it. And you know, Pastor Mark has an outstanding testimony of how the Lord confirmed and honored his life. He has a medal today from a tournament that took place on a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And he went and played on Saturday, played hockey on Saturday, and on Sunday, the tournament was on. We were in the house of God morning and night. But there was another game. It was a long week, and there was a game on Monday, and he could go to that game. And I told him, I said, 1 Samuel 2:30, I said, them that honor me, I will honor. I said, son, them that honor me, I will honor. And the next day at that tournament, the puck followed him around the ice. Now, he was far from the best player on the team. You know, many of the hockey players had played for years. He was in his first year. I think he was 12 years of age. And the puck followed him around. He scored a goal. I couldn't believe what was going on. At the end of the game, they announced the MVP, and they called out Mark Steinbrenner, and he went to center ice, and they hung a medal around his neck, and I took that medal to the engravers, and I put on the back of it 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. That's how we ran our family in the house of God, and it was a loving relationship. Went to church so much, so much. One time, Mark asked me, not out of any resistance, just, Dad, how come we go to church so much? I said, well, son, your mom and I don't run this house. Jesus does. And he wants us in the house of God, and so that's where we go. And I thank God for the protection of the house of the Lord and the spirit that he can put within a family and within lives. And I'm going to say one other thing. I always felt it was important to deal with our children after the manner that the Lord deals with us. I know there's many parenting skills, so-called, and much psychology that's in the world today on how to handle children, and a lot of it is simply a worldly point of view. But the Word of God, how does the Bible teach us to raise our children when it comes to discipline and correction? I say this carefully today. But the Bible, how does God deal with us? I said to Deborah, and in dealing with our sons, we did not give them timeouts or loss of privileges. If you disobey, you're not going to, you know, your favorite activity next week. If you keep acting like that, we're going to cancel our holidays. Those are threats. that do not build life into anybody. So I said, how does God deal with us? When we violate, when we disobey the Lord, what happens? His conviction comes upon us. He deals with us in a moment of time. We say, Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. I spoke out of turn. I sinned. Forgive me. And when we sincerely ask him to forgive us, what happens? He forgives us and puts us back into a state of justification. And he says, now let's go on. The violation, the infraction is dealt with. And that's how we raised our children. No timeouts, no loss of privileges. If you are disobedient and you violate on a certain point, then we will deal with that here and now. And whatever discipline is necessary for the moment, to apply some education to the seat of learning, and now we will be together here for the next few minutes, however long it takes for you to say, Dad, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I did wrong. And you stay with the child in the presence of the Lord. It's not a rod for beating. It's a rod for correction. The whole thing is a loving discipline to bring correction and understanding of the Lord. It's not to punish or hurt a child. It's to bring a godly understanding of right and wrong. And so you stay there. Sometimes it takes 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm sorry. You are forgiven. That's what you say, just like God. You are forgiven. And now we will pray, and you lay hands on your child, and you pray over your child, and say, thank you, Lord, you've forgiven this child right now for this, and help this child, and help us as parents, and help us to be godly, and to grow and follow you. And that's how you deal with sin and violation, the same way your Heavenly Father does. He doesn't give you a timeout, go stand in the corner, I'm not talking to you for the next 3 days. He doesn't say, you say, I'm going to withhold privileges for a while. I was going to bless you, but I'm not going to bless you now. He doesn't. He said, let's go to the violation. Repent, ask forgiveness. I set you free. Now let's go on hand in hand in a relationship. So I trust you can receive that this morning. Hallelujah. The arrowhead, the calling, the shaft, the character, and the fins, the curriculum. Three fins, three feathers on an arrow. The teachings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The teachings of the Word of God. The feathers are so important because they stabilize the arrow and cause it to be able to spiral in on its target. The arrows or the fins are there, those feathers are there to dampen down on the tendency of an arrow to pitch in flight. They give stability, they give that guidance to the arrow so it can hit its mark. And you know as well as I do that unless we stay under the power of the influence of the Word of God, we can pitch violently in flight. It's the Word of God that keeps us honed in. It's the Word of God that helps us spiral properly and hit the target. And it doesn't matter what age you are. If you forsake the Word of God or hold lightly to the Word of God, your life is going to be turbulent. But when the Word of God is on our life, wow, the arrow flies. It's stable in flight. And so we have to have the curriculum, the teachings of the Word of God upon our children, of course. Salvation and justification, sanctification, water baptism, moral purity, Pentecostal experience, tithing and offerings, Christian service and conduct, many areas that are the curriculum of the Lord. And as they're built in, they cause the arrow to fly straight and hit the target. And so we're always bringing the Word of God to our children, day and night. In the house and in the house of, in our homes and in the house of God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, at night when they're going to bed, and in the morning when they're rising up, they will hear the praises of the Lord. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. My, what beautiful words. As the days of heaven upon the earth. God says, get my words, my praises. Your children should hear you speaking in tongues. Your children should hear you praising the Lord. Your children should hear you rejoicing when there's trial or difficulty. Our God is able. Our God has never failed. Our God is faithful. He will help us. Trials, sickness, circumstances that are devastating. It doesn't matter. We will follow the Lord. We love the Lord. The Bible says you will have days of heaven on the earth, the presence of God, the life of heaven in your home, in your relationship with sons and daughters. And now Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently unto your children these words of the Lord. These words which I command you shall be in your heart, in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. In my old King James Bible in the marginal, it has for teach them diligently, it has the word whet or sharpen. And that is the original Hebrew word, W-H-E-T, to whet or sharpen. You shall sharpen. The Hebrew imagery is you shall sharpen your children by the words of God. You sharpen them. It's like taking a knife across a stone, sharpening a knife both sides. It's like taking a sword and sharpening the sword on both sides. But we're dealing with the image of an arrow today, and the arrowhead, taking the arrowhead and sharpening it on both sides, bringing it across the stone of the word, and bringing it under the rock Christ Jesus, upon the rock Christ Jesus. Consistently back and forth, both sides, the stone of the word and the rock Christ Jesus in the house of the Lord. And we bring this pressure on our children according to the word of God, sharpening, getting off the corrosion, making sure there's no dull edge on them, any nicks in the blade or in the arrow tip, one side and the other, appropriate and proper pressure. Now, sometimes you can tell, even as you're sharpening a knife, you know, I'm putting too much pressure, and you can lighten a bit. And sometimes there's not enough pressure. Nothing's changing here. And so you become a little more firm. And the Holy Spirit will teach us concerning our children, the personality, the differences between every one of our children. The Holy Spirit teaches us how much pressure to put at certain times and when to lighten off. And we hone both sides of their life, the natural and the spiritual. The natural and the spiritual, the physical side of life and the spiritual side of life. The Bible says of Jesus that he grew in wisdom. That's the inner development and stature. He had the physical aspect of his life as well, in favor with God and favor with man. The inward calling of God, the spiritual aspect, and the natural aspect of personality and life in this world. And we bring the knife across the stone. We bring the arrowhead across the stone. And we hone and we sharpen and we file away to make sure it's sharp for the presence of the Lord. I love the house of God. I love the ministers of the house of God. I love every department of the church, nursery, children's ministry, youth, on up. They are the stone of the house of God. That's where the word is. That's where the presence of Jesus is. Yes, we raise our children within our own family, but the corporate aspect has such a holy dimension to it. And we bring our children and we turn them on that stone every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, children's ministry, youth ministry, and adult prayer in the house, Friday night, youth activities in the house, and other activities at times for children and specific groups of people, because we want to keep our lives sharp in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship team, come, please. Sharpening of the arrow. Arrows are in the hand of a mighty warrior. So are the children of youth. God is the one to help us. His hands want to come on our hands. And then I want to add one other aspect really quickly, and that is the bow. To launch an arrow, you have to have a bow. And the bow, to me, speaks of intercession, the bow of prayer, the bow of intercession. That if I'm going to release my children to hit a target in God, I have to have some deep yearning prayers in my life. I need to undertake fasting prayers. I need to take some days, hours of intense calling out on God, that those arrows fly, that the hand of the Lord would be upon my family and upon my children. Desperate, desperate, desperate prayers. Crying out to God, calling out to God, that those arrows will fly, that my children will be touched, that my grandchildren will be touched by the power of God, and they will make their flight and hit the target of the Lord in their life and serve God with all their heart. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, minister to us. Every family, every parent here, Lord. Those that stand with young babies in their arms today, Lord, to know you are with them, Father, that no threat of darkness can come against them, Lord, as they stand in your word and in your power. Help us as parents, Lord, to be wise and understanding. Make us sensitive, Lord, to the Holy Spirit, to the great call of God, to the narrowing in. The back and forth motion upon the stone that must take place day and night to keep our lives in a proper place with you. We offer our families today, Lord. There's hope for the prodigals. Hope for the prodigals, Lord. Father, we claim our children this morning. We claim our grandchildren for you, for holy service, for the kingdom of God. That their sin will be dealt with and they'll hit the mark of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, righteous and holy. And Lord, that their purpose and their calling will hit the mark, that they will be about their Father's business all the days of their life, no matter their occupation, no matter their interest in life. They will say, we must serve the Lord with all our heart. We will be found in the kingdom. We will be found in the house of God. We will be found forwarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we thank you this morning. Lord, like Hagar, come this morning, Lord, to any parent, any mother or father that feels so alone, feel cast away, Lord. The child is only a good bow shot away, Lord. Help them to get their hands on their child, to arise, lift up their child, put their hand on him, begin to form that arrow, begin to take care of the shaft, get the feathers looked after, Lord. For you, Lord, have opened a well of living water that will flow for the life of that situation, that family. And we hear your words like you said to Hagar, fear not. You said, Hagar, what is ailing you? What is ailing you? I'm your God. I'm your King. I'm your helper. Lift up your eyes. And Lord, you opened her eyes and she saw the well of living water. We lift up our eyes this morning and see the provision of our Lord. We see the waters of life flowing to our family to lift and encourage and to build and to strengthen in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Let's yield our families to the Lord this morning. Call your children by name. Call your children by name. Lift them up. If you'd like to come to the altars and spend some time with the Lord, dedicate your family afresh, slip out from where you are. If you need a touch from the Lord, if you're a parent that needs a touch from the Lord, slip out from where you are. Ask God to put a new godly anointing on you, a new parenting anointing, a Holy Spirit anointing. That you can touch the arrowhead. You can touch the calling. You can touch the character. You can touch the curriculum like never before. Say, Lord, I need to be a mighty man. I need to be a mighty woman. I need to be that warrior. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to do that. He's here to do that this morning. He's here to help us. Take the despair off our lives. Take the discouragement. Give us a godly spirit in our parenting. In our families, because His vision is sure and His word will not return void. His word will accomplish the purpose to which it is sent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We glorify You this morning, Lord. Thank You. You are our Father. You've taught us Your ways, Lord. Skill our hands, Lord. Skill our hearts this morning. Skill our voices and our words, O Lord. We might raise up a godly seed for the glory of God, for eternity. That not one, Lord, not one of our children ever be lost, but all to serve You with all their heart. The blessing of God unto 1,000 generations. Your mercy endures to 1,000 generations, Lord. Those that serve You and follow You with all their heart. Jesus' mighty name.